You're listening to the UCB Long Form Conversations podcast, in-depth conversations with performers and teachers from the best alternative comedy theater on the planet. This podcast is modeled on the improv form La Ronde, so the guest of our last episode becomes the host of this episode, and today's guest will become the host of our next episode. The opinions expressed in this episode are those of the comedians talking and don't necessarily reflect the opinions of UCB Theater or Training Center.
Warning. What you're about to hear is an extremely nerdy conversation about long-form improv comedy.
Welcome to the UCB Long-Form Conversations podcast. From Los Angeles, I am Lacey Mosley. I was the guest on the previous episode, but today I am back as your host for another round of our ongoing La Ronde. Today my guest is Edgar Montplaisir.
Sure.
I like to sound French. You got a French name.
Yeah, I do.
Who improv fans might know from, DiCaprio on Harold Night. Yeah. His wonderful indie team, Arcade Currency.
That's the only descriptor that we have is that we're an indie team.
Backpackers. Oh, well, it's an all-male, all-black indie improv force, Arcade Currency, excuse me. Backpackers.
Yes.
There's more. There's so many more teams.
They're not really teams. It's like,
he's on 100 teams.
Yeah, I am.
Any other ones that you would like to throw?
Sure. Facebook Messenger, Whiskey Shots, Julia Edgar Hoover, College Brochure. Am I forgetting anyone's? Yes. No Exit.
No Exit. Okay. All right. Dope. Mm-hmm. Lots of teams that you're on.
Yes.
Okay. When did you start doing improv?
I started doing improv maybe in 2010. I joined my college improv team, desperate for attention, and we were a short form team. And that was kind of my introduction into improv. I didn't really fuck with any of that shit back in like high school. I was a huge jock. In high school.
What sport did you play?
Basketball, of course. Played the four. Enjoyed it a lot. And then in college, I went to the college that I went to pursue playing college basketball. It was a very low-level NAIA. But then I got into the film program, and I kind of dropped that. So that's when I started, like, embracing my more, like, closeted nerd side. And then I started, like, fucking around with, like, theater kids. And that's how I got, like, really into improv. And it was, like, a whole new world to me.
A whole new world.
Yeah, exactly like the song.
All right, awesome, dope. So you said you started on a short form team.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Is there anything, do you do any short form now?
No.
No.
No. I treat short form the way that everyone at UCB treats short form. It's the devil, and you should feel ashamed of yourself. Just kidding. It's great. It's fun.
Are there any, like, skills or anything that you learned from short form that you've taken with you to long form improv?
Oh, 100%. Which I think that short form gets you out of your head because you don't really have, like, the option to, like, go back to the thing, right? Like, I think in long form you can get lazy and kind of spend time thinking by being like, I'm going to mop the floor while I think of, like, my next line to say. But if you're playing the dating game, you don't really have the option of doing that. Like, it kind of makes you quick on your feet. And I think that, I don't know, I was, like, in my 101 class, I was ready to, like, get up and do things because I didn't have that nervousness that, like, a lot of people had of, like, oh, I have to step out and do something. I had already been doing that since college. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just being on stage a
lot. Yeah, that helps a lot.
It does. It makes you more comfortable in front of people.
It's a fun form. It's dope. Like, you know, it definitely helps you tune that kind of, like, I wish that I had known game when I was doing short form because it would have made it so much easier. Like, with the dating game specifically where it's, like, I didn't know that that's what they were telling us when they were like, what's wrong with Edgar? He's turning into a goat. That was my game. All I had to do was turn into a goat. But, like, I didn't understand that, so I kept doing other things. And, like, but, like, all you had to do was, like, answer the questions honestly. Like, if they were like, where would you take me? Where would a goat go? Like, that's it. Like, you apply the game to the question
so
that they're asking.
The dating game, if someone is turning into a goat.
Yeah, that's the game for that one person. And the next person has their own thing. Every time someone snaps, they, I don't know. It's really dumb. I hated it. But if I had understood the concept of game, it would have made it a lot easier. Yeah.
So do you feel, when do you feel like you started to understand game?
Man, that's such a pointed question, Lacey, because I know why you're asking. So like I was on that short form team. And, like, I don't think that I understand game more so. I think a more appropriate way, if I wish I was introduced to the concept of game back then. Like, I'm still learning it, and I'm still understanding ways to, like, do it better and stuff like that. But I had wished that I had been introduced to it in short form.
But do you think that there's a point that it, like, click? I mean, there's a clicking point, right?
Yeah, I do. I do. And I think, like, for me personally, when I started to be like, oh, I kind of recognize what it is, was so that short form team, I kind of, like, left it after a bit. Like, I kind of, like, got, like, jaded. And I was like, I hate, like, just doing short form shows for, like, six kids that the people on the team are dating. And, like, like I just
hate
it.
Y'all getting laughs then, right?
Of course. But they didn't feel real. And, like, you know, like, every, like, it just didn't feel fulfilling and stuff like that. And I started focusing more on my film projects and kind of left the team. And then Kingsley and Callie Pascal, who are both on Arcade Currency, also went to college with me. And they left college for a bit to go and to like get an internship in LA, and then they're like, yo, Edgar, there's this thing called UCB, you gotta check it out. So like I watched the ASCAT special on Hulu back when it was on Hulu, and I was like, this looks so much more fun than like doing these silly games that we're doing in short form. And what we decided to do was Kingsley and Callie took 101 and I bought the book. And I read the book, and they took the class, and we decided that together we were going to try and teach our college improv team how to do.
So you were going to Del Close, you were going to bring the Herald to college improv
to Angwin, California, and it was a disaster.
So they don't talk about you like they talk about Del Close.
No,
in
no
California.
One. There's no Edgar Mopazir marathon in Angwin. There's none of that. But, like, we tried, and I think from trying to, like, you know, that's just, like, a thing, like, your college professors would be, like, do study groups, because when you're explaining the concepts to someone else, you kind of get it. So I think, like, they weren't getting it at all, but watching them fuck up, I was like, oh, I'm starting to get what it is. So, like, they basically spent all that time teaching me game.
That's so.
But I, like, It made 101 a lot, and 201 and 301 a lot easier for me. Like, I didn't have that, like, frustration that I think people have when, like, 101, they're just like, hey, go at it, have fun. And then 201, they're like, yeah, have fun, but watch out these things. And then in 301, they basically stop, like, all that looseness that you have and, like, here are all these rules. So that wasn't as frustrating to me, I think, as it was to other people, because I had gone through that process myself by... I read that book probably more than I read any of my textbooks in college.
So speaking about that, so you have obviously a deep relationship with like the indie scene, and you're on lots of indie teams, and you're on a house team as well. Like,
yes.
What do you think the difference is for you when you play on in either of those forms? Because on a house team, you're always going to do the Herald.
Yes.
And then on indie teams, you can do several different types of improv. Montages, slackers, pretty flowers. Like, what's something that you feel like really distinctively makes them different for you?
For me, what makes them different is the pressure that I feel. I think that on Herald night, I go into it thinking, and it isn't real, but I definitely go into it with this thought, and you shouldn't. But I go into it being like, every move I'm making is being dissected by someone who's going to bring me up tomorrow in their 201 and 301 class. Because I know what I was like in 301. Like, I would come back and I'd be like, well, I saw Carl Tart on 8 Babies do this. Like, you know, like I was that person. So, like, I think about that so much. So I think that I play a lot tighter, and not tighter in sense of good, but like, I don't feel as loose as I feel when I'm doing a show in the Inner Sanctum and in the clubhouse. And that also could be to reps, which is like, I am like I like to call myself like an Inner Sanctum baby. Like, my first improv sets were at the Inner Sanctum here in California and stuff like that, or in LA. So like, I grew up in improv with that. Like, that's where I got all my reps. I run 2 shows there. Like, you know, like, so.
Which are?
I run the UPN show, which is a show where we show clips from old black sitcoms and have teams do improv off of them. And then I run on the Arcade Currency show, which is Arcade Currency does an improvised sitcom every month.
And those are monthly shows.
Yeah,
right?
Both monthly shows. And it's just like I feel a lot looser when I do those shows because, you know, that's where like I got my reps. Like, you know, like I did Happy Hour so much, did Purgatory so much, I did the Gringo show.
What do you feel about reps helps? Because, I mean, everyone says, like, reps. I know that's something that we talk about in improv is, like, you have to do it a lot to get better at it.
Yeah.
However, I know, and this isn't to be shady, but I do know a lot of people who do a lot of improv and are not getting better.
Ooh, are they doing shows or are they doing jams?
Well, they do jams. They do their shows with their teams at the clubhouse and stuff, but they're not necessarily, like, getting better. Do you think that when you're doing reps, or not just doing reps, when you're performing improv, is there something, like, are you always thinking about something you're trying to work on, or do you get notes? What makes those reps stick?
Yeah. Oh, well, for me, I can only speak for myself personally, and I can't apply this to anyone else. I don't tend to talk to people after shows. I know you see me right after a set, and it's something that I learned from stand-up, which is you go, you sit in a corner, and you just break it all down and try to think. So I think that, like, maybe, like, you know, sometimes there's a carelessness to it. And I think that, and this is something I've talked about at length, that there's kind of a lack of respect for kind of indie shows sometimes, where people come in and they kind of just like, well, this is a fuck around show. Like, they don't care. So if you're practicing loose, then you're going to perform loose. But, like, then I don't know. This might make me sound
don't worry about that.
Elitist, but I do think that if you do care and like put in the time and think of it as this is homework for me, this is me trying to apply the lessons that I learned, then like it's a lot more fruitful. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I literally take those things, like every set that I have, I'm just like, all right, well, I'm gonna try to apply like this one thing. Like, I remember after 4-1, a note that I had received was you could be yourself a lot less in scenes. Like, I tend to just come in. I used to come in scenes a lot, and maybe I still do. I don't know. And just, like, sound like me, look like me, and, like, make no effort.
So play characters is what they're asking.
Yeah, but not even, like, characters to the point of, like, you know, like, something that, like, Dane Troy on Arcade or Jessica Euler on DiCaprio would do. But just, like, try just to be not Edgar. Like, maybe you're a dad. Maybe, like, you know, like, just, like, try a little bit more. And I remember, like, being like, all right, well, I'm going to specifically apply that goal at all of these shows. And that was very helpful to me. It's like, you have to, like, go into it and work on things rather than just play. Even though it is just playing. It's a weird balance between the two things.
It really is it's a whole balance.
Improv is an oxymoron.
What do you mean by that?
Like, they're like telling you don't think while also giving you a ton of things to think about.
Think a lot. Yeah. Also.
Don't think, but
are you
we
thinking?
Need those third beat connections.
Don't think, but pull this premise.
How many times I've heard like a coach be like, don't think, but also in this scene, think about where you can make those. Think about how you can bring this back and, like, you just, yeah. But
maybe thinking is more so meaning look, hesitating.
Yeah, look yeah. for it. That's what they mean is
yeah.
look.
Yeah. And then, so what would you say, like, who would you say is a performer, an improviser? Like, who are the people that you look up to or, like, your mentors or people who teach you things?
Yeah. Definitely my number one person that I look up to, would probably be Alex Ferney. Like, if I could, I think that.
What's he taught you?
He taught me, well, a rant that I take from Alex Ferney that I kind of like use all the time is the difference between a set and a show. And like, I remember the first time he gave that rant, like, I was just like, man, I'd fuck this dude's brain. Like,
like, you heard it
a
here
very
first.
Weird thing to say, but like, I was just like, that's so smart. But, so he was talking about how he said, I probably see 2,000, 3,000 sets a year, right? Like doing improv as much as he does and seeing it as much as he does coaching. But he says, I've only probably seen 10 to 15 shows. And the difference between a set and a show is that a set is just a random assortment of scenes. And a show, it feels cohesive. It feels like you're walking away thinking of something and, you know, like you remember it. You know, like I'll have a hard time thinking of what I did in a set, but I'll remember like, oh yeah, this show felt very cohesive. I remember all of this. And he was saying that he'd like to see more shows. He'd like to see more intention in improv. And like, it's also kind of a rant against montage, which I totally understand.
I feel like montage can become a show, though.
It can, but it takes an effort,
you know? For sure, like, yes.
It's not just editing a scene because you're like, well, this scene's done and then never coming back to it. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just like, I took a theme class from him, and he was basically like, if that first set takes place in one part of an office building, why can't that second scene also take place in one part of an office building? And those people never interact. They never have to talk, but it's a game. And then another scene also takes place. And then, like, you start building out a world, and people mm-hmm. just, like, that felt lived, and that felt like, you know, I could see it, and it felt a lot less loose. Like, it's not just, like, random jokes just being yelled. There's a whole thing kind of being built. One thing I remember specifically in that class is we did a round of scenes where they all took place at the Olympics. And earlier in the Olympics, what was it? It's like the guy announcing all the countries didn't really know any of the countries' names. And that continued to be true in all of the scenes, even though it wasn't the game anymore. But that thread continued to be true in the rest of the scene. People pick up on shit like that, and that's like the kind of stuff where they'll catch you in the street and be like, oh man, I remember that and I love that. A set that I always bring up is a Rococo Harold Friday one time, where it was a soundtrack show, and for their group game, what they did was it was like one of those like happy-go-lucky songs, like it's like a little piano playing in the back, and they destroyed the entire stage. Like, they like threw out all these chairs. Someone grabbed a couch from the green room. I don't know if I'm like ratting them out when they did this, but like, this was like a long time ago. And like, they threw the couch there and they just made a giant mess. And then they cleaned it all back up again. And at the end posed. And it was one of the funniest things. But in their third beats, they found a way to like make that happen again naturally. And I remember that show forever now. Like, I can never forget that. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Because of that intention there to, like, make it all
kind of
fit.
Because it was a show. It wasn't a set.
I didn't watch random scenes. They all kind of lived together.
Yeah.
So that's something that I took away from Fernie. Another person that I took something away from, and someone that I really look up to, is Ronnie Adrian. That's my favorite improviser ever. Personally for me. And something that he kind of taught me was to kind of care more as the voice of reason in scenes. That's my favorite thing to play, is voice of reason. I love it. It's not easy, but for me, I like, you know, being on a team like Arcade Currency, where everyone is such a heightened person normally. Like, they're not playing characters. Dane Troy is like that. Gerald Grisetti is like that.
Gerald is definitely like that.
Yeah. Amon is like they're all like that. So like, I just get to call it out and label it and push it forward. But something that he told me earlier on was that you could care more as the voice of reason. Like, you can call something out without condescending the person. Mm-hmm. And I think that changed the way that I played a lot, which was, you know, instead of like being like, man, you're dumb for liking this thing. It's more like, man, hey man, why do you do that? Like, that intrigue to it is so much different. Almost like you're meeting a stranger on an airplane and they're telling you something and you're fascinated by it. You know what I mean? That made playing scenes so much easier for me, because I found myself a lot earlier on just like calling it out and calling the person dumb and that getting a laugh, but the scene couldn't go anywhere from there.
Yeah. I like straight manning because you can paint philosophies and mm-hmm. weird things on people. Yeah. What's your favorite thing to do? I guess I'm not supposed to call it a straight man anymore.
Yeah.
The
Please
voice
call
of
it a voice
reason.
Of reason,
excuse me. The voice of reason. What's mm-hmm. So what are your favorite things about being a voice of reason?
I like, personally, I like making their argument win the other person. Like, playing a voice of reason to the point where their argument wins. It's very hard to do. It takes a lot of like ego check.
So instead of just like getting on board, you want them to actually be right.
Yeah, like having their logic make sense, like a little bit. Like, you know, like being like, I can understand that for your perspective. I really do enjoy doing that.
Okay.
For me, personally, that's something that I like doing. And, yeah, I like really pushing them towards getting their philosophy out. That's another thing I enjoy as the voice of reason. I like lobbing people up. If I played basketball, I mean, as a basketball player, like, I didn't score a lot. I grabbed rebounds, and I could pass very well. So, like, I think that I kind of improvise in the same way, which I really do enjoy setting people up.
Assists. And, okay. You're an assist improv player. I like it. I mean, I've seen you do other things, too, though.
That I don't know what you're talking
amazing.
About.
So you're obviously doing the Herald form. And I know on the indie scene, because you're on a million teams and I've seen a lot of these great teams play, you do some different forms between the teams. What forms are you doing on the indie scene, and what forms do you feel like help you foster skills to bring into the Herald?
I think that a team that's doing a form that's helped me a lot with the Herald, interestingly enough, is Kevin Spacey, which is that was a team that was formed through Charlie Mihelic runs this excellent show at the Clubhouse called Catharsis, which is dramatic improv. And I was on the first one that he ever did, and I was on a mashup team consisting of Kale Hills, Veronica Gruba, and, man, I can't believe I'm forgetting her name. I feel so bad right now. Jen Kruger. I feel terrible. I'm sorry, Jen.
Yeah, she's going to be upset.
But that team does dramatic improv every time we perform, like when we're doing like indie shows and stuff like that. And that has helped me with the Herald specifically in terms of commitment and letting a scene breathe. I think that when I like first... like, started doing improv, I was like, oh, we got the game? Hit it. But you can't do that in dramatic improv, you know what I mean? Like, you have to kind of, like, listen and breathe and relax. So that form specifically has helped me with that, of just, like, chillaxing and resting into whatever there is in the scene. And more active listening, I feel like, as well. Slacker is the form that RK Currency is currently running. Mm. And that really helps me in the Herald, specifically with just doing the thing. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think that...
not talking about the thing.
Yeah, not talking
just
about
like
the thing.
Getting right
just
into
doing
the
it. Because if you just talk about it in a Slacker, then your scene's going to get stuck.
Yeah.
Like, I think that running that form has helped me with that a lot, of just like...
starting scenes in the most interesting part.
Yeah, if... I don't know why anytime I like think of a game idea, it's always something to do with a dick. But I was like, if we wear dick ties, then like I'm not going to say like, I'm going to say, hey, man, why do you wear a dick tie? He told me his reason. I'm not going to argue with him past that. I'm going to cut to a business meeting where he's wearing a dick tie, or him, how he makes his dick. Like, I want to know more about
the dick
ties.
Where's he buying the dick ties?
Yeah, like I'm not going to argue with him about dick ties anymore.
World dick ties. Okay.
So those two forms... not necessarily those two teams, even though those two teams are amazing, but those two forms have really helped me a lot, like, with the Herald, I think.
And speaking of Heralds, because you're on Herald Night, what do you think, what would you say is, like, the biggest thing that you've learned so far, like, improv-wise, like, working in that space?
So, I anticipated this question, and I thought about it for a long time. And it makes me think of a note that Johnny Meeks gave us in 401 that I'll never, ever forget, which was por las buenas, which he said means for the good path, or the good path, or pursuit of the good path. I've Googled it, and it's come up with so many different meanings. But essentially, what he was saying, and he said a team like JV does this a lot, is just like seeking the pleasure in scenes, like going for like the good fun path in scenes rather than shitting on like it, kind of like what Ronnie was saying with like being a more compassionate straight man. But this pushes it even further beyond it. So where I learned this specifically, and it didn't make sense to me, but like I think like in group games, I specifically a lot again going into like that logic thing. So I think of like a scene last night where Matt Apodaca wrote a romance novel, and he was just like, well, maybe it wasn't a romance novel. Essentially, he wrote a book and was like, Harry met Sally. They fell in love. The end. Like, that was the book. He was like, all right, let me read you guys this book I wrote. And he read it. And, like, the book just ended in three sentences. And I think that, like, how I used to do it was I would, like, be like, hey, man, you got to have more to a book. Like, a book can't just be, like, you know, three sentences. Like, we need a plot. We need all these things. And then this group game would just turn into all of us shitting on whoever was reading their book. Mm-hmm. But, like, how, like, Portless One has kind of shaped it and how, like, Harold Knight kind of changed it for me is, like, it is so much more fun if we love the shit out of that book and then everyone comes up and read their books and they're all three sentences and we just love it more and more each time. It's so much more fun to, like, everyone agree and not have those one versus all group games. Like, I don't know. Like, that's something that, like, I didn't really understand before, especially, like, Arcade Currency. I think
you guys love to we love trolling each other.
We love it. Like, it's so fun.
You're
on that
so
team.
Good at
like,
it.
We love like just like turning the other person down. But
oh gosh, I remember there was a scene that you guys did on stage once where somebody there was a bathroom. It was like you were in an art gallery and someone was looking at a bathroom sign and, and was like, "This is so beautiful." And they were like, "That's the bathroom sign, you idiot!" Yeah. Like, and you guys just shit on him for a while, and it was so funny.
Yeah, like I think like I moved that like. Dane came on one time clearly as Denzel Washington and then Callie knew that Dane was coming on as Denzel Washington and then Callie just went why are you doing a Denzel Washington accent, Chris Tucker? And like moves like they're fun, but
they're dick moves, but they're like when you have a relationship like that, that's always great to see.
But like I do think that it is also fun to like, you know, like just everyone like joining in the dumb thing and everyone just have fun. Like, don't shit on it. Like, that's something that I'm learning from Harold is everyone just, like, committing and doing the thing and having so much fun with it. I don't know. It just, it reads as so much more fun to me.
I think
that's something that I learned from Harold.
Yeah. That's a good note.
All in.
What do you think, like, what are you working on right now in your own improv?
Right now I'm working on, well, I guess, going back to the thing, like resting the game.
So like returning to the base reality?
Yes. That's something that I'm working on a lot. Like again, like, you know, like that and also not being a straight man anymore or not being a voice of reason anymore.
Getting crazy.
Yeah. Just like, you know, like I think like a note I was getting a lot was stop initiating scenes as the voice of reason
and
play the game yourself, which like. I hate that note, but, like, you know, I think Mastriani, like, put it in a really good way, which is, like, you know the take that you want to do on it, so why not just do that take instead of hoping that someone else does that take for you? Like, do it. Like, you know the take. It's going to be so much easier if you do it yourself. So that's something that, like, I'm kind of working on. And also just, like, if we're at a movie theater, hit the game, go back to watching the movie, you know? Or if we're in line, like... You know, like, go back to that. Like, find more natural ways to hit the game than forcing a game move.
Hey there, long-form listener. It's me, Matt Walsh. Yes, the Matt Walsh of the UCB 4. I'm speaking right now into your ears. Right now. Is this weird? It's a little, yeah. Well, you want to listen to something less weird? Then check out the UCB Sports and Leisure podcast. The show where we conduct hard-hitting interviews with some of today's best sportsmen and relaxers, from baseballers to Bjork. Sometimes they're real celebrities, but usually they're UCB improvisers doing great impressions. Subscribe to the UCB Sports and Leisure podcast on iTunes for more of me talking right into your ear. And then it might feel less weird, but no promises.
Hey, improv fans, if the suggestion for your next show is beer, maybe initiate your scene with something like, check it out, they've got Bronx beer on tap at this bar. It's the start of a great scene, and ordering a Bronx is a great way to start any night out. And Bronx is now the official house beer of the UCB Comedy Podcast Network. Visit thebronxbrewery.com for more information, and be sure to make your next pint a Bronx. And scene.
I actually saw Susie Barrett do a improv set with Casey Fay. Mm-hmm. I think you might have been there that night. But they did a set, and they were in church. They were at Mass. And in between, like, all of the funny things that were happening, they would just do what you do at Mass.
Yep.
So they would, like, stand, and then they would kneel, and then they would pray. And it made it so much funnier because it was, like, just these breaks in, you know, the actual game. But they were true.
Yeah.
They were true to the experience.
It feels like the game shows up more naturally rather than being shoehorned in. Yeah.
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 That's dope.
So that's something that I'm personally working on because I am a novice improviser.
Okay.
Just wanted to add that asterisk.
Well, what would you, like, what advice would you give to improv students who are maybe, like, in 101 or 201 or just starting up or, you know, maybe not on any indie teams right now, just getting their feet wet?
Yeah, perform right away. That would be my one note. I think that there's, like, this, like, weird, and I don't think a lot of people do it, but, like, I meet so many people and they're just like, oh, yeah, I'm in a practice group right now, and we're not sure that we're ready to perform. You are 100% ready to perform. Mm-hmm. Like, just go out and perform, and you'll only get better from there. You won't get better dodging it, like, waiting. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I think just, like, go out there, perform as much as you can.
Like, even with practice groups, I think that's a good idea because it's like you can do practice groups every week, but if you're not in front of an audience, you're not going to learn as well
not at all. Not at all.
So get out there and do some shows with your practice groups. I think that's really great advice.
Yeah, I think that not a lot of people do. Submit to the UPN show. We'll take you. Submit to the Arcade Currency show. Maybe Amon will take you. That's Amon's choice. That's not my choice.
Oh, put that on Amon.
He's in charge of booking.
He's evil and he won't book you.
Yeah, if you're not booked on the Arcade Currency show, it's because Amon doesn't think you're good at improv.
We'll give you his address later. You'll know exactly where to find him and talk to him about it. Catch him outside.
You hear that, teams?
All right. Well, so I have to ask this question.
Please.
As a man of color.
Oh.
Yes. And I love how, like, if people watch or listen to this podcast and listen to the one that I just did with Ego, they're going to think I code switched real heavy with you.
Of course. Well, I did.
I was a ratchet on that podcast. And now I'm like, so I have a question
for
you.
People are
going
to be surprised when you get to that question. As a man of what? black?
As a black man.
He was talking about being the voice of reason, it seems.
As a black man out here in these improv streets, let me get back into my voice here. What do you think has been the most challenging thing for you? And what do you find to be the most rewarding thing? And how do you think about yourself as a black man on Herald Night? Three questions.
Okay. I had to ask this question, she said. And then she asked three.
I'll remind you.
So the first question is, what did I find challenging? I found, the first thing that came to mind was I was always black in scenes, whether I thought I was black or not.
Oh.
Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
I was always black in scenes. Mm-hmm. And, like,
you thought you weren't being black. You always black.
I was like, I wasn't being black in this scene. Like, you know, I'd be, like, dating someone and then, like, they try to, like, butt in a scene with being like, well, my boyfriend's black. I'm like, well, I didn't think I was. I thought I was just your boyfriend. Like, you know. But then also, isn't that an issue? Like, I guess just now I just thought of that because why is me being black a thing? Like, why did I think just being her boyfriend, because I was like, I thought I was just being normal in the scene. That's what I almost just said.
Oh, man.
So that's, like, interesting, huh? Like,
that white is normal. Mm. And
the things you learn.
Ooh.
So anyway, I was watching Get Out. And, but, so I think that was, like, a thing. And then I also,
how do you, not combat that, but what is your, what carries you as a black man through?
Oh, take it on. Like, that's what I learned is, like, double down on that shit.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I shied away from, like, references and stuff like that. Like, but then why? Like, I don't know half of the shit that J.H. references, like, all the movies and stuff that he talks about. Like, J.H. is on DiCaprio with me, but, like, I'm just like, what is this? Like, what is God Only Knows? What is that song? Like, I don't know. But, like, I go home later, and I look it up, and then I learn it. So
It's like, God only knows where I'd be without
it's a,
you.
It's an okay song.
It's like the intro to Big Love. I know
okay. I also never seen that show, but I know it's about... But, like, I go home and I learn about it. So I think, like, you know, Will Hines said, if someone does a scene about Star Wars and you don't know about Star Wars, do your best and then go home and learn about Star Wars. So I think that what I'm trying to push is... You know, like with the UPN show specifically.
Go home and learn about Atlanta.
Go home. Yeah, go home and learn about that. You didn't get my reference. That's on you. Go home and learn it and then come back and you'll improvise better with me next time. Shit. Well, like, I think that, like, yeah, just you're going to hit that so many more times. Just double.
You gotta play me.
Double down on it. You know, like, don't be afraid to be you in scenes. That's what I want to say to any men of color in there, because I'm not talking to you, lady. Honest.
Don't go there. Don't get into that.
I think, like, don't be afraid to be yourself in scenes. Don't tone yourself down. Don't. I think Arcade, in the beginning, we had a huge argument about this of, like, whether we should be black, like, yeah, and stuff like that. And
then, like, you can't stop being black.
We're going to be black, guys. That's why we're booking all these shows.
But we think that. I think that myself. I'm like, I'm going to get on stage and I'm going to just play this clean white people improv and they're going to forget.
No. Nah, man. I mean, obviously, like, don't. I think there's a difference between being authentic to yourself and cooning.
Being, yeah.
And like.
There you have it.
If I'm sitting there and someone's like, Edgar, what are you doing? I'm like, oh, I'm getting an iced tea. How many, like, that's honestly me. Like, I almost was later because I was like, I could go to Walgreens to get another iced tea real quick. Mm-hmm. I know they got the 2-for-1 deal right now.
What you drinking, Arizonas?
Of course. Mm-hmm. Of course. I drink sugar. The sweet tea and then the half mango, half tea. Ooh, so good. So good. But, like, that's authentic to me. You know what I mean? Like, going into a scene and I'm going to, the person who did this knows who I'm talking about. Going into a scene and you're in the kitchen and someone's cooking and you go, like, what you making for me? Grits? Like, that's different. That's different. That's a different thing. Like, you know, like, that's not authentic. You definitely force that. But I think if you go into a scene and you're like, someone's like, what music are you listening to? And you say the music that you'd honestly be listening to and it happens to a black thing, that's not a bad thing. That's who you are. If I have to continue to watch Star Wars scenes, I think it's okay if you have a scene that's about Empire, that's about Atlanta, because it's authentically about you. So I think that answers question number 2. Mm-hmm. No, that doesn't. That answers question number 3. So the question number 2 is, what good do I have from being a black man on the scene? Oh, that's an easy answer. Arcade Currency. That's the best thing. That's the greatest thing about it, is that I exist on a really great team that is comprised of 7 black men.
Who are not a monolith.
No.
They're very different,
there
guys.
There is not a similarity between us. Like, I don't think, you can't look at any, well, that's not true. There's 2 people on the team who are the same person. Like, they're twins, yeah. But even between the two of them, they're different.
Very different.
Right? Like, so, like, I don't think, we're not, Amon is, like, from a completely different world than Dane is, and Gerald is. No one knows what world Gerald is from. But, like, that's the best part. And that came from escaping, like, that, like, censorship of ourselves. Because Dane kind of put us all together because we were all, like, hiding in jams. And, like, I would, like, they'd be like, raise your hand if you want to be in a set. And I'd look and I'd be like, I didn't know Dane and Gerald, but I saw them for months before we did Arcade. And we'd all be at the Diversity Jam or Longhard. And then, like, when the Longhard Jam and the Diversity Jam are both jams that happen at the Inner Sanctum. You can check them out. Long Hard Jam is on Wednesdays.
I love how you're plugging Diversity Long Hard Jam and not your own show.
Because these people need to know about these specifics that I'm talking about. Well, usually the host would do this, but I'm not hosting this episode.
Long Hard, shut up. Long Hard Improv Jam is actually right after the Black Girl Magic show.
Wow.
It's Wednesdays, 8:30. After, it's at 10. It's at 10 o'clock and Jake Regal hosts that.
Yeah, along with Jacob Womack.
Yeah, and sometimes they bring in Fun Herald team being
members to jump in. And then mm-hmm. the Diversity Improv Jam is on Fridays
at 6. Yes, both in the Inner Sanctum.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I would see them at those jams, and, like, they like to be like, who wants to play? Or, like, well, for the Diversity Jam, because the Wednesday one, you put your card in. So on that Friday one, I would see Gerald and Dane raise their hands, and I'd be like, I'm not raising my hand. Ain't nobody. They'll raise their hands. I'll go up. I'm trying to get in on the team. Both of us can't get in on the team. Like, that was my framing of it, mm-hmm. right? Censoring myself. And, like, I was like, man, we'll be too black. All three of us up there. But then Dane was just like, why not? Why not all of us kind of just, like, bond together and make this thing? You know what I mean? And I've heard it. I've heard people criticize. I told you you wouldn't be done hitting it. I've heard people criticize it and, like, not necessarily about us, but, like, I've heard people be like, oh, white woman, they're a gimmick team because they're all black. Like, you know, and so mm-hmm. I've heard people say that, but Bangarang's not a gimmick team because they're all white. Like, you know,
exactly.
Like, white woman is a hit because they're coming from a perspective that is missing from Harold Knight.
And they're funny.
I mean, not Harold Knight. Missing from improv in general.
Yeah.
You know, OOD is killing it because it's a perspective that we don't have access to all the time. And they're bringing in these specifics, these ideas that are fresh, that are different. Man, I promise you, all the other teams, I think all white teams could be killing it. If they were just like, what if we just, like, put more of ourselves into this show? Yeah. Instead of just doing, like, you know, scenes. Like, that's all it is. That's all it is putting more of yourself.
I agree with that. Like, and then it brings about having, like, a brand, not even like in a sellable way, but just like you are coming to it with a Arcade Currency and White Women are both all black, all male teams, and they are very different.
Very different.
So just, yeah, I think you're right about that. Like, bringing yourself, that's a really dope point. Yeah, I think you answered all the questions about being a black man.
Well, I told you when you texted me, don't worry about me.
I wasn't worried
about
you.
I'm a killer podcast guy.
And obviously, guys, if you need life advice, you need to hit up Dane Troy because he's giving out all the improv, the life advice.
He is. One time, and this is a funny story about Dane, but one time he was just like, hey, man, do you want to coach? And I was like, I do want to coach. And he's like, I bet. And then, like, 2 days later, some random person texted me and was like, hey, I heard about you from Dane Troy that you coach improv. And I was like, what the hell?
Yo, that's real. I actually quoted in Ego Session, I quoted something that he had told me about doing things in your full capability. So if you can sing, really sing. If you can dance, really dance. I was from Dane. I wasn't going to give him credit, though, because I'm petty.
But, yeah, like, don't half-ass anything, I guess.
No,
yeah, if you're going to do it, do it.
Absolutely. And then, so we're running up in our last little 10 minutes here. One, I wanted to ask you if there's anything that you wanted to share about yourself or about your improv journey with. I know it's super vague.
That's such a vague question.
Listen, but like anything that you feel like people may not know about you or like your journey in improv that you'd like to share. I'm hitting the mic again.
I know. I haven't been, I'm not going to say that. I can't think of anything.
Okay, well, how about this?
Okay.
What would you say is your proudest moment that you've had so far?
Oh, that's so easy. Last Black Week in the White House. That's definitely the proudest I've ever been in improv.
Can you explain what that was?
Yeah, so it was kind of like a dream that, like, Callie Pascoe, who's also on Arcade Currency, had, and where we just always wanted to do a show. Originally, the show was titled Blairold, which was going to be like Black Harold. Like, we wanted to like have like
I
all
heard Jamal.
Black. Yeah.
The Jamals.
The Jamal. And then, like, we kept having that dream. And then, so, you know, Trump won the presidency.
Oh, God.
And I was just like, oh, like, the White House isn't going to be black anymore soon. Like, oh, it would be so dope if we just, like, had this show. And it's kind of like what Dane was saying, where, like, you know, do it to the full capability. Like, I just kept mm-hmm. talking about it. So then I messaged Beth, and I was like, hey, because what was it? The inauguration was on Friday. So I was like, hey, is there a show on Thursday night that we could do? Like, call it, like, the last black night in the White House. And then she was like, there isn't a show on Thursday night, but there is one on Monday night. So what we did was we called it Last Black Week in the White House, and we got Obama to the Daughters, White Woman, and Arcade Currency to all do a set, a long set, and kind of just like base it as like a thank you to Obama. And it was just the blackest thing. And like that made me so fucking happy. Like, so many people came out.
It was oversold.
It was oversold. And like Charity was just like, if the fire marshal comes, we're all in trouble. Like,
again, ratting out UCB.
It was so packed. And like, we were just like, everyone was backstage, just like seeing like all those black teams. But the moment though that made it specifically made me the proudest. And it's going to sound like I'm taking responsibility for it, but fuck it. Obama's of the Daughters came out to Bad and Bougie, I believe.
We love that song.
They were twerking and stuff. And
we love to
Lamar
twerk.
Was looking at, because you can watch the sets from the green room now. So, I don't know, that wasn't always the case. This is like, that's a fairly new thing. So, Lamar was looking at the screen and looking at this, and he just went, damn, UCB has changed. And like, in that moment, it made me realize, like, how big of a deal that was. That, like, on Monday night, right after Harold Night, at 11 p.m., it was an hour and a half of nothing but black performers.
Yep.
So that was, like, my proudest moment. And Arcade Currency had a killer-ass set.
You did.
But, yeah, that was just fantastic. That, like, yeah, that's probably my proudest moment in improv ever.
Yeah, I would say that's probably up there for me, too, just being a part of that. And then I remember you let me sing the Black National Anthem.
You did sing the Black National Anthem.
Black people sang along. Yeah. And it was this cool moment of like, there were people in the audience like, what is this song?
What is this going? How come everyone knows? Like, we didn't have the lyrics up or anything. They're like, why do people know this?
It's our secret song.
Is this a new Beyonce track? Why is everyone on board?
It's improv, guys. Everybody just improvs the Black National Anthem. Oh, okay. And then I would say, what is the best piece of advice that you've gotten surrounding performing in general and also improv?
It came from Hal Rudnick, who is also an amazing teacher here. But he said, commit! If you're going to be a baby, be a fucking baby! And just that, like, it just changed everything. Like, I feel like a lot of times I've gotten away in my life with half-assing things. I don't think I'm, like, a genius or anything, but I'm a pretty smart person, I think. And, like, I could, like, not read a book in class, but kind of listen to the teacher, like, do the lecture and be like, oh, I know what to write in this essay, and I'd, like, get good grades on those essays. But it's also something that Marcy said to me, because, like, before Harold auditions, I was kind of, like, a big baby, and I was like, I don't know if I want to audition. I don't know if I want to, like, do all this. And then, like, and then I did anyways, and I got on a team. And then Marcy was just like, imagine if you had gone into it wanting it. How much different that would make the experience. And I think it's that, like, commitment thing of just, like, there's, like, I don't know. In my mind, it's also, like, a low self-esteem thing, too, right? Where I think if I want something, I won't have it. But that can't be true. It just literally cannot be true. Wanting something, committing to it, going for it, that's the best result, you know? I think the recent election proved that to us. Like, wanting it bad enough.
Trump wanted it,
he
guys.
He wanted it so bad. And
I think Hillary wanted
it
real bad, though.
I don't think she did, man. I don't think she did.
She just wasn't likable.
She would have been campaigning in Michigan.
Bruh.
But I think that that's like, I don't know, man. It's just committing. It's just such a new experience for me. It's something that I haven't really done my whole life. And putting your all into something just kind of just, it changes the way that it looks for you. So I think that's the best advice I've ever gotten.
Nice. And I know you're a film studies major, right?
Film production.
Film production. Excuse the hell out of me.
I wasn't in class learning theory, okay? I was out there shooting the shit.
Do you feel like improv has, like, impacted that, or that has impacted your performing?
Yeah, it definitely has. It definitely has, where, like, I'm realizing it's really helped me with editing my movies a lot, where I'm learning less is more. That's kind of, like, the thing that improv has shown me the most. Is
Which
that,
is
like,
so true. Less is more in improv. You don't have to talk all over
things. I write
things.
Such wordy scripts where I was just like, man, I could just cut. I just cut so much more in the editing room now. So, yeah.
Well, Edgar, it has been a pleasure getting
to know
you. It's been
a pleasure getting to know you, Ms. Mosley.
And that was our long-form conversation. Tune into the next episode where somebody will be your host. Edgar will be your host.
Wow.
So tune in and listen to Edgar.
You've been listening to the UCB Long Form Conversations podcast on the UCB Comedy Podcast Network. If you like this podcast, please subscribe and review at itunes.com/UCB Comedy. The opinions expressed in this episode are those of the comedians talking and don't necessarily reflect the opinions of UCB Theater or Training Center. Find cutting edge comedy videos on YouTube and Vimeo at UCB Comedy. Find our live shows at UCBtheater.com and connect with us on social media at UCB Comedy.
Thanks to the Bronx Brewery, the official house beer of the UCB Comedy Podcast Network, for their support. Visit thebronxbrewery.com for more information on all their craft beer. And be sure to make your next pint a Bronx.